Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening and welcome to the LFC Day Trippers Transfer Show, NTK, which means no transfer knowledge, which is a bit unfair because on this show we have loads of transfer knowledge. But what we're not afraid to admit is we get it all from scouring the internet, from Twitter, from the Sky Sports and all the other stuff that all the other ITKs get it from, but will not admit. I'm the host tonight, Keith. I'm joined by Chris. Chris, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
Great to have you on. It's a long time since we've done one together.
I know.
And it's even longer since I've had Joe on. Joe, how are you, my friend? Leeds United, it all changed since the last time we would have spoken.
Yeah. Good to be back. Glad to be back. I like the Trippers. I watch when I can. All changed, mate. All changed, man. It's all changed. New manager, players leaving, the crown jewels leaving, man. It's we're getting used to this Premier League and the top six taking the best players. We have to get used to it, innit? So there you go.
Yeah. See, that's it. But look, we can we'll have a little talk about Leeds and how their squad is shaping up and the business that they own and any other links they may have, because we'll start off on one player actually. Well, what with you, Joe? We'll start off on the big one that sorted the underrounds at the moment. It's Rafinha. Now, I'm a huge Rafinha fan. I was actually saying Liverpool should have gone from when we went for Diaz. I was probably wrong on that, you know. But it looks like he's gone. And the price, 50 million, is that what I'm saying, getting bandied about?
So that's what David Ornstein reported. But I know Leeds United were holding out for 65 million. They said that since. And then Fabrizio Romano has said 60 to 65. So I can't imagine Leeds selling less than 60, just with the fact that we took... There's a lot of Leeds fans unhappy with the 42 million for Calvin. So I can't see us then, you know. I think that put us in a good position to say to other clubs, we don't need to sell anymore. So if you want him, come and get him. And the good thing is with Rafinha is you had Barca, you had Chelsea, you had Arsenal, you had Spurs. Even Newcastle entered the running for a little bit today, but I don't think he was ever going to go there. But we had a bit of a bidding war. I think with Calvin, he said, I only want to go to City. So you're stuck then. So you sort of have to meet City's demands. Whereas Rafinha's probably... He just wants European football. He wants Barcelona, but they ain't got the money, so he's had to go, do you know what? And his agent's Deco. Deco's played at Chelsea, you know, so it's one of them ones. I'm gutted he's going there though, Keith, because we don't like Chelsea, so.
Yeah, and that's why we love you on the Trippers, you know. Our enemies are all the same. but what we have you there? Calvin Phillips, you've touched on that, 40-45 million are in around that ballpark. My opinion on Calvin Phillips, right, and I've had rows with Leeds fans over this in the pub and that, I would have sold him last summer because I think his price was at the sort of peak that you may have got for him. And I was worried that so many years under Bielsa, and look, Joe, I'm a huge Bielsa fan, as you are yourself, it takes its toll and the injuries were starting to pick up on him a bit. And I felt, you know, cash in, maybe it's the best thing to do. He's a great player, but I just felt that he was maybe starting to pick up too many niggles. Didn't really get much out of him last season, and you've sold him now for 44-45 million. Can you see him getting into that Man City team? Or is it all I see, and this, I don't mean to be disrespectful to him, I know you're a huge fan, I just see Fabian Delphrault all over this, to be honest, going to a club and not really impacting it. Am I being too harsh on Calvin? And I know you're a huge fan of the kid since he sort of came through there. Or can you see him maybe surprising the skeptics like myself?
Yeah, I do. I do see him doing that. I think on the Calvin thing, what I will say, just to give my overall opinion on it, when Bielsa left, we were never going to get, in the system that we played, the same Calvin we got under Bielsa. You know, he played on his own in front of the back four. In the double pivot, when he came back, he didn't look great. I can't lie to you. You know, it was all congested. It was so narrow. He weren't able to pick the ball up in space and ping it out to the wings like he will be able to do at City. So I think for Calvin, it's like almost, it's the perfect transition to then work, you know, from Bielsa to Pep. Do you know what I mean? I think he will surprise a few. Of course, he's going to be benched a lot. Like, he's going to be, you know, coming on for Rodri, etc. Sometimes he might play them together. We'll have to wait and see. But the thing is, City are fighting on all fronts. So he's still going to get a lot of game time at City. The thing that frustrates me, Keith, and I know you're not one of them, and I know Chris isn't, but there's a lot of top six fans that just don't watch the other clubs, and they just automatically assume they're no good. And I can't wait for him to go. And prove a lot of the doubters wrong, to be fair. In terms of the fee as well, like, I'm okay with it. A lot of Leeds fans lost their head. Yeah. But I looked, you know, Fabinho, 40 million. You know, he went for more than Fabinho. Kante, 30-odd million. Went for more than Kante. There's only really Rodri, I think, that's more than him in that position. And we know how good Rodri is. Even Guimarães went for 36, and that was just in January, you know. So I think the fee's decent. And I'd argue he's easier to replace than Rafinha in the current setup that Jesse's gonna go with, because there's a lot more players out there that can play in a double pivot as opposed to that X factor that Rafinha's got in terms of goals and assists. So it sounds like I'm doing him a disservice, but he's easily replaceable. I know Leeds fans won't like to hear it, but I think he is.
Yeah. You know? No, I'd agree. I was maybe a bit surprised of the club he went to, just because I think, you know, it's going to be a hard one to get regular football at. But, you know, a couple of years there and you take any medals you can get and you look at it then. And I think, so I suppose that's probably the trajectory he sees. There's other big clubs that I think he would have maybe, I don't know, Manchester United, I don't want them going there.
They were in for him though, this is the thing. Yeah. There were loads in for him, Keith. I mean, PSG even sniffed. Yeah. And that's a madness when you think about it. But, like, Calvin was never going to go to Paris, man. He's a bit of a homebird. Someone in the chat said Man United. He's never making that move. He knows his legacy would have been done. You know, I think he goes there and, you know, it's conceivable next season he could have a Champions League and a Premier League title. Do you know what I mean? I know obviously Liverpool fans will disagree, but
it's definitely, that's why he's gone there. And, you know, Man City, the business they're looking to do this summer indicates that they're going to be fired on all fronts going for this. But Chris, I'll come to you. Back to Rafinha. What do you think of the move? Like, where do you see Rafinha ending up?
Chelsea, isn't it?
Is it done or is it just a jumping in?
It seems to be. I think Ornstein's sort of indicating it's quite far down the line. And to be fair to David Ornstein, he's a bit like a Paul Joyce. only tweets when it's fairly far down or when he's very well connected, you know. So I sort of think it's probably Chelsea done, which, as far as Chelsea do need that. I mean, the talk is they're getting rid of, they want Ziyech gone. He doesn't fancy Werner. You know, Hudson-Odoi can't stay fit. So, and Pulisic can't stay fit. So they do need a wide player. And look, this will be interesting. How does he handle the step up? Because look, I know me and Joe disagreed with Rafinha at times. I felt at times Rafinha, not down tools, but I think when it got a bit tough with Leeds, I thought he hid a little bit, especially in some big games where you think this is where you need a Rafinha to step up. More beginning of the season, middle of the season. But you won't get away with that in clubs like Chelsea or top six sides because he'll get dropped. And it'd be how he adapts that. But look, you don't know, maybe he's around better players, it might kick him on. So it's a move Chelsea need. It's a sort of player Chelsea needed. You know, they needed more goals from wide positions. You know, Lukaku is pretty much gone. So they need to sort of get more goals into the side and a bit more pace into the side. I don't think he's the priority for what they needed. I think they need at least 2 to 3 defenders for me. Because, I mean, I still think if Chelsea are going to stick with 3 at the back, I don't know why they don't put Reece James as the right side of the centre-back and buy themselves a proper wing-back. Because for me, I don't think Reece James is a right-back in a back four. I think he's either a right-sided centre-back in a back three or he's a wing-back. So if Chelsea want to stick to that, and also if you play him as a right-sided centre-back, that's a bit of pace that they need.
It's interesting because they are looking, we'll stick with Chelsea for a second, and Joe, I know you're a big Chelsea man, but the idea of Rafinha going there, and as Chris touched on, there seems to be a lot of movement going on, so Lukaku was gone, we know that. Ziyech, I think, handed in a transfer request, so he wants out. And Werner is apparently being offered to Juventus as part of a deal for Matthias De Ligt at the back. So there seems to be a bit of a change. Do you think the new look Chelsea, right? So they're going to look at having Mason Mount, Kai Havertz, Rafinha, and another player who will come on to is Raheem Sterling. It's a big change, isn't it, in the Chelsea attacking, if they can get those ones over the line. And people in the chat are saying, you know, oh, a bit late, Chelsea have done the business there. I didn't think it was confirmed. I knew they'd bid, outbid everyone. It was far down the line for Rafinha. But I thought it sort of was, they were waiting on Arsenal to come back. And
It's not official, but I think all the respected journalists are saying it's very close.
I think he chooses Chelsea over Arsenal anyway, doesn't he? Because of the Champions League.
Yeah,
exactly. It's interesting, mate, because the funny thing is, before as I was asked to do this, I was thinking, right, I'm going to drop the bombshell. I don't think it's a bombshell, but I just think, well, what's going on at Chelsea, right, with this Todd Bowley coming in and him wanting to do it all himself and a lot of the players leaving and all that, I was thinking, they're in trouble for the top four. And I was thinking, is that a bit of a bold prediction? And then, Raf, they still want Sterling. Fabrizio Romano's just tweeted out to say Koulibaly is another one on the list for the centre-backs as well. They want De Ligt. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Chelsea do. I'm more intrigued to see what their future holds under this new owner. Like, what they're going to do with all the stockpiling of youngsters that we're used to, you know? Are they then just going to knock that on the head now? It seems to be a bit of a mad transition. I believe football's cyclical. It goes in cycles. You know, Man United have had their day, they're done. I was praying that Chelsea have had their day, they're done now. You know what I mean? Because I'm just not sure if this Ted Bowley, obviously it seems to be going okay, right? But they still haven't got any deals over the line as of yet. But it's like, can one man be expected to do it all? I don't know. The jury's still out. But that front four you mentioned there, Sterling on the left, Rafinha on the right, it does improve them, doesn't it? Because the deals they did under Lampard, I'm bringing it back to him, by the way, but the deals they're bringing it, they didn't really work, did they? Really? I mean, they haven't, have they, any of them, really?
And that's the thing, isn't it? When they do, and it's a good point, you know, that summer they done all these deals and it's too much at one time, and there's a fear that it could be the same again this summer, you know, because they're looking at bringing in at least 2 top centre backs because they're losing Rudiger and they're losing I think Christensen and Yeah. Aspilicueta, have they signed new deals or are they're gone?
No,
as well?
I think they're still only really Thiago Silva at the minute, isn't there?
I think Christensen's gone. I think Christensen's gone. Aspilicueta, I think he's ultimately got a new deal because of an appearance, the number of appearances, but I think he wants to leave anyway. Mm. So although he's got a 1 year extension, he still wants to go. It's just that they'll guarantee a fee for him. Yeah. The thing with this summer is looking at the way the fixture pile up is until Christmas. This is probably a season where you want as few big changes as possible. You want like a bit like icing on the cake signings. You don't really want big structural changes because it's literally, especially for top six or any side in Europe, it's just your game every 3 days. And no, most sides are used to that. But this is how I'm intrigued how Tottenham do. Because Tottenham did really well in the Conte post-Christmas with one game a week. Hmm. And I know they've added Basu and they've added Pulisic, but I'm a bit like,
Perisic.
But when they had to do 3 games a week, and I know it was Europa Conference instead of Champions League, still 3 games a week, and they didn't cope very well with that. And we saw how eventually it hit West Ham, and these are a lot more condensed because there's no real League Cup rest points until, I think the League Cup doesn't start till November. So it's pretty much Premier League Europe all the way through now. There's no like nice, easy, you know, Grimsby away in the League Cup. It's tough football from pretty much the get-go.
Yeah, very true.
They're linked to Ake as well, right? So, does he improve them enough? Like, Ake, do you think?
He's better than Dyer, though, isn't he?
I'm on about Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Yeah. So, it's Koulibaly, De Ligt, Ake, and Koundé.
Koundé, yeah. Yeah, Aki's a strange one.
He's left-sided, isn't it? They're premium, aren't they, left-sided centre-back?
Yeah, Koulibaly left-sided as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Plus, Aki's proof of City, he can do left-back pretty well.
Yeah.
Which it does help. I think his versatility with Aki helps. I mean, worst case, he has played DM. I know they won't want to use him there very often, but he can play there. But they had the chance to bring him back from Bournemouth at a cut-price deal. And they chose not to.
It's mad because this is the thing that frustrates me with the Calvin fee. I know I'm about to that, but they'll end up having City will get more money than what they paid for Ake from Chelsea. Yeah. I guarantee you, man. It's mad. Didn't they pay 50 million for him?
They paid big bucks for him, yeah.
It's mad, man. But we had that with Manny, didn't we? I mean, we probably should have got more than what we did for Manny, but he said it's buying a no one. And that kind of ties your hands a little bit.
You still made money on him though, bro, and you had him all them seasons and he's won everything.
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
It's still great but business.
If you look, Jesus going to Arsenal for 50 1 year in his deal. I know he's younger, but Manu's a better player. That's where you look at it. But, I mean, look, we did buy him with Thiago because he did the same thing to him. It's Liverpool or nothing. Yeah. And so it does swing him around about sometimes. You got to sometimes take your medicine a little bit and not quite get the fee you'd like.
Yeah, and Bayern shot themselves in the foot with the Lewandowski thing because they're looking for 50 million for Lewandowski and he's 2 years older than Mane. So I think they tried to throw in about Thiago, says, look, we don't use a solid with Thiago. And they're like, yeah, but he's looking for 50 million for Lewandowski and he's, you know, 33, so we're not backing down. And sometimes the teams try to drum up a bidding war and it doesn't happen. You know, it just doesn't happen. Chelsea are looking to do a lot of business. I think they're doing an awful lot too much. There's something about Thomas Tuchel that I'm not a huge fan of. And I know Gav hates his guts. He might have changed his opinion on that recently. But I don't know. To me, with Tuchel, it's like he can't settle on what he wants to do. I don't know what Thomas Tuchel's style is. I don't know what Thomas Tuchel's preferred system is. Because to me, he fell on a defensive system with that three at the back when he took over. He won a Champions League. He stuck with it. So it'll be interesting to see if he perseveres. Do you know what I mean? It's like a fresh start now nearly. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, they could be linked with a lot of players and they might end up just signing. Raheem Sterling and Rafinha and two centre-backs, but they could do with a midfield player as well because Kante misses an awful lot of games. Jorginho, up and down, you know, I think he's decent. A lot of people don't like him. It's
very aging, do you know what I mean? He seems to be the squad. Mm. Kovacic seems to be out a lot as well.
Exactly, yeah, there's a lot of...
But will he give Gallagher a... Will he give Gallagher a shot? You know, he did give Loftus-Cheek. I think he even played Barkley at some points. But yeah. I think for me, Gallagher's a a player. You know, he's a real player. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, they'll do pre-season and then make a decision on him. But
you could be onto something there, Joe, because there's not many links to midfield players. So maybe that's what they're looking at, Conor Gallagher going in and being, you know, the midfield player. You know, I'd love him at Liverpool. I think he's very good. Do you know what I mean? Because he's all energy. He's good on the ball. I think he's really good. But so maybe he's the answer to that problem. But yeah, a lot of big moves at Chelsea and a lot of, you know, background stuff that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But Chris, you touched on Spurs there a minute ago, so let's jump over to Spurs.
My favourite North London club.
Spurs, right, under Antonio Conte. See, I think these are building. We'll get on to that North London club in a minute. But Spurs have been building their squad under Conte, and it's been very up and down, and he's been very hormonal. You know, one, they get a win, and it's the best team he's ever coached and the best players he's ever worked with, and then they get beaten. And he can't understand that, and he's doubting himself. It's a bit of a mad thing going on there.
He's a bit bipolar at times, isn't he?
He very, very, very bipolar. But unlike what we said about Thomas Tuchel, where I don't know what his system is and what his plan is, we all know what Conte's is, and we all know Conte plays 3-4-3. We all know the types of players that he likes. And the business that they own and the business they're being linked with is very, very interesting. Now, they've done, as you touched on, they've done even Perisic, who was made for that left wing back role. They've done Basuma, who will slot in there beside Bentancur. It'll be a tough, tough midfield to get through. And they're linked with other, I know Jed Spence is one they're linked with to cover their right back thing. But I want to get on to, and Bonkers LFC says it here, Anthony Gordon and Richarlison, double deal from Everton.
Can you imagine how many penalties they get with those two in Kane? Jesus Christ. Be like the Tom Daly show, wouldn't it? Hell.
Well, it's interesting. Can you see Richarlison and Anthony Gordon getting near their team if they sign them? Because I'm assuming we're not going to talk big money on these. I haven't seen the figures, but I think Richarlison I saw about 50 or 60 million.
Now. Yeah, I think the Blue Brethren wants about 80 million for both, don't they? Bless them. But I think it was Dave Maddock saying Everton were desperate to push the Richarlison deal through, but were standing firm on Gordon. But I can't say that. I don't think he'd be desperate to sell Richarlison, but it'd be interesting how he does, because he's, I think he did well for Everton to help keep them up, but he's a bit of a shrinking violet, I think, when it gets tough, though. Because I thought at times, I was saying to you, when they were in the real mare January to March, I thought he was hurting them, because it was too much of the petulance, too much of the throwing himself on the floor, too much. And how is he going to handle being not the big fish? Because let's face it, he's not getting in ahead of Kane and Son. I know we all say it's a squad game, you've got to rotate, but he's literally fighting with Kulusevski for the other position. Because if it's a big game for Spurs next week, it's Kane, Son, and one other. And at the moment, you wouldn't drop Kulusevski because he's been brilliant for them since they've signed him. But if Spurs are going to do well in Europe, because I'm suspicious how they're going to do well doing the three games a week, they've got to give themselves some squad depth.
Yeah,
and what he gives them is pace. You know, he does give them goals. He does give Spurs a bit of snide, because I still think Spurs are too nice.
Yeah.
And
go on, sorry, mate.
No, go on, you go. So
no, it's like they do need better options, don't they? The Bergwijn and Lucas Moura, etc. They were linked with Rafinha, because that was a thing as well. It's like, I don't think he'll go there. He's got to compete with Kulusevski. So it's interesting, but I mean, apparently, looking at these figures, 80 million plus 20 million in add-ons for them two, for Gordon and Richarlison. That's crazy. But I do, you know, I spoke with Matt Hayes, and he said, like, he would like Rafinha, but Richarlison's what they need, because Richarlison gives them that versatility and can deputise for Kane, but also can play on either wing. Do you know what I mean? So, they need that, don't they? Someone who's going to be willing to go and actually say, okay, I will play second fiddle for Kane. But what he also does, it's not just a like for like. He can play across that front three, which means he'll get more game time because they are in Europe, etc. So the Gordon one's a wild shout, and I don't think it'd go down well with Everton fans with it. But I mean, they're talking about spending 20, 25 million on Harry Winks, for God's sake. Well, when I seen that, I was like, wow.
Well, the last I saw was that's what Spurs want. Everton want him on loan with an option to buy. So that, that so when they're saying it's a close deal, you're going, that's quite a difference. Because the thing with the Blues is, and me and Keith have said this before, is financially they're in trouble because FFP wise they can't do it. So they can sell Richarlison for 50-60 million, and they may say, and I think Calvert-Lewin might go as well because I think he'll look for a move. But you've got to replace both of them and then add to that squad. And you've got to do it on pretty much what you sell is what you basically can bring in, and hopefully a couple of clever loan moves. I mean, they'd probably look at, if it was them, they'd probably look at Thingy from Chelsea. Is it Brozier, who's on loan at Southampton? They probably need something like that.
West Ham, I think.
Yeah, but I think that's what they need. They need to find someone like that, a bit of a clever loan move to tie them over, because I think they've got too much to do, and I don't think they'll be allowed to spend the money they want to do it. Which is great to see, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm all for it. I was listening to the lads on the Anfield Rap talking about, and they were saying, like, they haven't even unveiled their new kits because there's issues with sponsors and all, you know, and everything. That they're not in a good state, and I can understand the Richarlison deal, but the Gordon one, I just think, as Joe said, I think that'll tip them over the edge down there if they sell. Because all we've heard is Deschamps is the second coming of Wayne Rooney. Little did they know that, you know, it ends the same way. But they brought in Tarkovsky. Like, have they got that one over the?
It's supposed to be close, isn't it? I don't think it's done yet. But speaking of Wayne Rooney, that could be the albatross that hangs over Everton now. And Joe's best mate, Big Frank.
Yeah. Well, he wanted Tarkovsky at Chelsea, you know.
Yeah, because he did all right for Derby in under the circumstances. And look, he's going to go away, finish his badges off and all that. But I think Rooney will be highly sought of. And I think he'll be looking for a lower side Premier League club or a top end Championship club. Mm. And trust me, as soon as Everton go on a run of 2-3 games without a win, that's just going to be the Lampard. Won't be his fault though, because he'll shout at Klopp and say it's his fault.
Well, he can say it's down. I had no money. He's already got his get out, man. He's already got his get out.
Trust me. God, he's more protected than the Tory government, that lad.
Yeah,
but you know, that's just the way he is.
He's a Tory.
He is very much a Tory. That's why they love him.
Yeah, that's why they love him, indeed. Yeah. But. So Spurs, they're doing interesting summer. Again, they've got a couple over the line at least, but linked with others. I think they need another centre back as well, personally. I think they need to get someone in there. I'm not a fan of Eric Dyer. And I think Coutinho Romero's a good player. I think they could do with another centre back in there. But be interesting to see what they do there. Staying in North London, lads. Joe, we'll come back to you. Arsenal. I've been looking at a lot of Arsenal stuff recently, and you know, 12 out of 10 transfer windows, and they were talking about, you know, Fabio Vieira. Who did they get? Fabio Vieira.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
They were getting Rafinha as well.
They included Jesus, Rafinha they were including, and Lisandro Martinez, who they haven't got either. They signed a Brazilian young lad as well, didn't they? I can't think of his name.
And they signed a keeper from
Matt Turner.
Yeah, Englishman, but from America, to be the backup to Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah.
So
Aaron Lonsdale.
You're not rating.
So, I think Rafinha. He's real. Aaron Lonsdale.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's terrible. I think he's absolutely brutal. I think he's he's one of these keepers that makes a save look more spectacular than it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas, alright, we're spoiled that Liverpool fans. We have Alisson who makes hard saves look easy. Mm-hmm. I think Lonsdale's the opposite end of that. I think he's always in bad positions and has to, you know, shots that go straight down. He's tipping them over the bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's diving to the centre of the goal to tip them over the bar. Whereas if he was positioned, I think he'd be an easier save. Yeah. But look, that's just me.
But it's also, look how many shots go right next to him. They just shoot right by his feet because he's so flat-footed. I think Jota shot right. Jota twice just shot straight at him and scored. Yeah. And it didn't. And they went hard shot, just right at him. So he's a keeper that will get you into Europa League, probably get you into the Champions League. If you look, if Arsenal long-term are looking to win leagues, and this will probably come back to bite me in the arse, but, you know, I might.
They won't move him on now. They went
into that. But long-term, he isn't good enough.
I think he is.
I don't think he is.
No. Not for a team challenging, though. I think he would be their Achilles heel. As we've had at Liverpool, we've had Mignolet at Liverpool and Karius, and we knew it was glaring and we needed an upgrade. We needed the best in class, and we got the best in class. And I think you need to have that sort of...
City did it with Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Who got to a level, and they went, he's good to a level, but he's not what City needs to go to the next level. And they moved him on very, very quickly.
I just think, you know, he's good at a level, but yeah, I think if you want to be going to the top, I'm not a fan. But they signed these players, they were doing pictures of Rafinha in the jersey and all that, didn't work out. What do you think of the business they've done? So they've got in Vieira, and 99% people will probably can't tell me now, I'm miles behind, they've announced Gabriel Jesus. But let's say Jesus is in the door.
Yeah.
What do we make of that? I want to hear your opinions because I have my opinion on this. So
yeah, so for me, prior to obviously the Rafinha thing, I'm looking at it purely based on speculation because they've been linked to Tielemans as well, which has been mentioned in the chat.
Yeah,
Jesus, they brought in that Vieira, who I don't know an awful lot about, to be honest. And I've watched a few bits of people saying, "Is he really what they need, etc." But they did need to improve the overall quality of the squad. I like Arsenal. I do. I like Arteta. I think they are building something. It'll be interesting to see if this... Do you know what really narks me is this chat about Saliba. Like, I've not watched him, right? But I just... The way Arsenal fans go on about Saliba is like he is the second coming, yet he's been on loan for two seasons.
Yeah.
The reason why it is. Let's see how he gets on. I'm interested to see because I'm hearing, we've got Saliba and Gabriel, and then I'm like, so where's Ben White going? You're after this Martinez guy. You spent 50 million on Ben White. I like Ben White. You know what I mean? It's what it is. Blood of my club, that's why. I'm biased.
He can't head a ball.
Yeah, true. That's probably true. But I don't know. I think they're building something. But for this season coming, especially if they get Tielemans over the line as well, I think that's a good acquisition for them. I think the mad one was Nketiah. Like, I'm sort of glad that they signed it because Leeds United were the other club that were interested in it. and then they gave him the Thierry Henry shirt, man. They're massive fans fuming about that.
Yeah, I go mad.
Oh, mad. But I'm not sure if he's the guy. Be interesting to see how Jesus gets on actually leading the line and being given that shirt and not been no sort of like rotation like he has been, even if he's got a hat trick. Aguero was always coming back in, or do you know what I mean?
So. He might not lead the line, he might end up doing an Aubameyang and playing him left wing.
I think he will.
It'd be like when we told James Milner, you'll always play centre mid and we play him left back for a year. what a manager tells you what you get.
Yeah, listen, I love Martinelli.
He's brilliant.
He's the one. If I was taking anyone from Arsenal, he's the one I'd take.
Yeah,
he's
good.
I like him, but listen, I like Arteta. He brings me so much joy. You know, it's great. It's great every Saturday night for me to laugh at someone because it's it feels like a house of cards with Arsenal. Because I think we said it on the Friday show, which was like when you look at Arsenal's bids, you go, "Oh yeah, that's great. That's good. It's not what they need, but that's a nice signing." You know, Fabio Vieira, another nice, neat and tidy centre mid. Not really what they need. They've got loads of them. You know, a nice, small, quick forward. You've got loads of them already. But you haven't got a dominant centre-back. You haven't got enough cover at full-back. You haven't got enough dominance in the centre midfield. You're still the soft, in my opinion, Arsenal's still a soft touch. And listen, I'm sure this get clipped up. I'm an Arsenal, if Arsenal beat us 2-0 at the Etihad, I'm sure I'll get loads of it. But I always look at Arsenal and think, I expect us to beat them because I feel like they're a soft touch. Whereas I go West Ham away, I always think that's going to be a brutally hard game. And I hate when we play West Ham away because it's hard. Whereas Arsenal, I always think like, match them for energy, get an early goal, and the crowd will turn anyway, and you don't need to do anything. Yeah. The work's done for you. You know, I fear a Leeds away game more than I do an Arsenal away game. That's how I see Arsenal at the moment.
Yeah.
But you've got to turn it at some point, but I'm not convinced it's going to happen anytime soon. And listen, they threw away top four with no European football, with a wafer-thin squad. Now they've got to bulk a squad out to survive Europa League football. We know people suffer with that anyway. Yeah. And get top four, I don't see it happening. But I've got my popcorn ready for All or Nothing, or Nothing as it's better known.
Yeah. It's Arteta, he's got to do something this season, and otherwise he'll get the boot, do you think?
Yeah. Do you know what I see Arteta and I see Arsenal? Because I like Arsenal as a club, you know what I mean? Arsenal, I do like them, you know what I mean? Over the years, when I was a kid, Arsenal were a great team, and they were always a consistently great team. Some, you know, Man City only came along 10 years ago or whatever. Newcastle will be flashing the pan or whatever, but Arsenal were always a big team. I see Arteta really as Brendan Rodgers when he was at Liverpool, or Ole Solskjaer at Manchester. You know, I know Solskjaer was a joke figure, but Solskjaer went in there and he sort of stabilised from Mourinho because it was so toxic. He goes in there and stabilises it. I don't know yet if Arteta is the man to take them to that next level yet, or if he's just a bit of a show pony, for want of a better word.
They've got to get top four, aren't they?
Yeah, he's a bit of a shield for the owner. He's a bit like what Solskjaer the Glazers.
Yeah, I see a lot of similarities there, all right. But I think if he keeps missing out on top fours, and it's something that Chris, you said there, that you see them as a soft touch. You know, Ben White, Joe, you're a big fan. We were a big fan of him on this channel as well. And Liverpool were linked with him and definitely thought he could have done a job. Since he's gone to Arsenal, he's done well. But they're linked with Lisandro Martinez. He's only about 5'10". You know what I mean? He's not a big dominant centre-back. Saliba has been at Arsenal for about 4 years, hasn't done a tap there because he just doesn't look like he can settle. He looks great when he goes back to Ligue 1.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he can do. So I don't know if they're putting all their hopes on this. It'll be very, and as I said, I don't rate the keeper. It'll be interesting to see. Fabio Vieira is a good player. He's tidy, but to me, he's very Martin Odegaard-like. And I think, yeah, they can be got at in the midfield. I think they do need a dominant player. But with Gabriel Jesus was a centre-forward when he was younger. All this shit, Man City don't have a forward. He just didn't play him there. He put him out to the wing. But did you see Tim Vickery's chat on, I don't know if it was TalkSport or one of the other shows, and he said that he was speaking to Tite, the Brazilian coach, and he said to him that he asked straight up to Jesus, where do you like to play? I don't mind. No, where do you like to play? Do you want to be a central striker or do you want to be a wide forward? And he said a wide forward. So he sees himself as a wide forward, which is because I don't think Arsenal need another one of them. You know, you touched on Martinelli. They have Saka. They have Smith-Rowe, all players.
And they were in for Rafinha as well. That's another wide forward.
Exactly. And it just, to me, I just don't know. I think Gabriel Jesus is a good signing. I think he'd be good if he gets playing down the middle. I think he can be a really good player for Arsenal. But it's a wait and see, you know. It's a wait and see. And the players they're being linked with, I don't see it solidifying them. Tielemans is good on the ball. I don't know.
Don't forget they got Pepe as well. As the chat reminded me, he's still there as well.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that's one of the worst transfers ever seen. 72 million for this fella.
The chat pointed out, he did run past Van Dijk once, so you know.
Yeah, he won that award. But yeah, interesting to see what Arsenal can do. Lads, I want to quickly move on to Manchester United. Manchester United haven't done that yet. Linked were allowed.
It's close though.
Everything's close, yeah. Jadon Sancho's still close. but they're linked with Frankie de Jong. I keep seeing, you know, reports that Frankie de Jong
doesn't want to go.
They look to have hijacked the deal for the Feyenoord fullback. I can't think
Malacia,
of his name. They look to have, and if they've done that, I think that's a great little move, because what they've done is similar to what Liverpool done with Diaz. They let Leon sort of negotiate a price and then came in. And that means then they can't hike the price up, you know, because yourself, when the big English clubs come in, the price goes through the roof. And they've sort of been left with their pants down there because they've given a price. So, you know, they're like, we'll pay that. we'll take him, we'll pay that. And I can just see, you know, every Dutch player gone seems to be linked with Manchester United. Now, they're another one linked with Lisandro Martinez and Jurrien Timber as well. Ajax have said they're not going to sell both of them, so it'll be one or the other. Linked with a lot of players. Can you see United doing much business, Joe? And where do you think they need to strengthen? Where's the key areas for you that they need to strengthen?
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. No, they need a defensive midfielder, don't they? They definitely need a defensive midfielder. Left back, you know. No, but they do need a left back, though. I think, you know, Shaw, yeah. Tellez, Brandon
they're
Williams.
Not great.
Nah.
Well, Brandon Williams is a right back. That's the ironic thing. He's been playing left back for United, but he's actually right-footed.
Oh, really?
Right
back. Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
But they've told him he's gone, haven't they? They've told him.
Yeah, and he learned this today. I was like, that explains why he can't cross them.
Right.
That'd explain a few things.
Who's on the right side as well? Is it still Wan-Bissaka?
Dalot, I think, has nailed down that right side. Yeah, Wan-Bissaka hasn't had a sniff.
Which, he's solid enough. He gets in the Portugal side, but at least he's more how United fans want them to play, which is more attacking fullbacks. Because, to be honest, Wan-Bissaka, the ball looks like a hand grenade next to him. He's just not that. He's just not that type of fullback, you know. He's too short to be a centre back, you know. So I'm not quite sure what the move is for him, but they're not going to make the money back on him. Put it that way.
Jesus Christ, 50 million? You're joking?
Yeah,
mad, isn't it?
The latest meltdown. I mean, if you go to Man United Twitter, it's worth a laugh. To be fair, McTominay has been told he's staying in a key part of Ten Hag's plans, which, as you can imagine, United fans
teams have acquired about him, haven't they? I've read that as well, that teams had actually acquired about McTominay.
So they might like McTominay. I think he's a good player. I think he's all right. I think I got stick for this before, but I think, you know, if he was English, he'd be Declan Rice. I think Declan Rice is usually overrated. I think there's an English premium on him. And I think McTominay does a lot of...
There's no bias there in Declan Rice, though, is there?
I don't like him either. Funny you should mention him as well.
I'm not a massive Grealish fan, to be fair.
On Man United, I'd be interesting to see what happens with our. It sounds mad, but I'm more interested in the sort of like drama behind it. I'm like, what's going to happen with Maguire? Is Ronaldo going to boot off? All that sort of stuff. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Ten Hag does. I mean, Donny van de Beek, what's going to happen there? Is he going to get a tune out of him? That'll be interesting to see. The link to Anthony from Ajax as well, aren't they? So,
I mean, who from Ajax have they not linked to?
Yeah, exactly.
Leeds United are doing that, though, with all the Americans. I understand that, like bringing in players that you know will fit straight in and stuff. It's smart.
It's like when we got Klopp, we were linked with half a Dortmund squad.
Yeah.
We never got any of them. No. The only one we nearly got was Goetze, but he was goosed anyway. So to be honest, we're quite glad we didn't get him.
But with the United lads, you're right. You know, Frankie de Jong, I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, Frankie de Jong sorts out the defensive midfielder. Frankie de Jong's not a defensive midfielder. So I don't know what they're expecting.
Frankie de Jong is probably what would actually suit us.
Yeah, I think he's a very good player, Frankie de Jong.
A criticism of Liverpool is we don't get enough goals from midfield. Yeah. Now, look, we can talk tactics and that's how we play, but it would be nice to get a few more goals from midfield. He'd actually probably suit us better, but not for that fee.
And his wages are astronomical as well.
I mean, but I think everyone's wages at Barcelona are astronomical. That's why they're in the mess they're in.
Exactly.
That's why they're in the mess they're in, because they've done piss poor business, really. So I think he's a good player. I think if United sign him, he's good what they need. Don't know where that puts Bruno Fernandes, because I know a few people have told me it's a squad game now, it's not 1981. I'm more than aware of that. I wasn't born in 1981, so I wouldn't know. No, surprisingly not. I know, it's hard to tell. But generally, when you spend big money on big players, they play the majority of games. You know, we know it's a squad game, but in big games, Fabinho, Thiago, Van Dijk, they always play. You know, for Leeds, in big games, you know, Cooper will always play. The main goalie will always play. Phillips would have always played. Regardless of what the squad game is, you would play certain players. And that's where I'm going. Like, I mean, that's probably a criticism of Fernandes, is he's not been great in big games. Great against, you know, anything below 10th.
Yeah, he steamrolls all that, sure. But in the big games, he's not. They're linked with Christian Eriksen as well, which is another player who would be playing in them sort of.
But that replaces the one matter experience, which they are losing. And I think they do lack a bit of leadership. I mean, they've got Harry Maguire as captain. It says it all, really. So
for me, though, that I don't get it. I don't get it, me personally, the Eriksen thing. I don't think, do they need him? Is it what they need?
I think it's an experience thing, because they've lost some experience in Juan Mata, who probably, they need a bit of professionalism behind the scenes.
He's only about 28, but isn't he, Eriksen? He's not even that old. He does have a lot of experience. I know he's an experienced player. I think they're looking for a PR win, to be honest, with Christian Eriksen. Yeah. That's what I see as, and that might be cynical, but I just don't think it's
isn't it mad
for him. I don't think it's a great meal for him, I think.
But isn't it mad that he'll make a decision, it's either Brentford or Man United. And it's like, it's still it's still a conversation, as in like, which one would you think he'll pick? Whereas before, if you heard like, United want him, you go, wow, that's what,
he's used to regularly just go to Spurs, didn't he? Or, you know, Berbatov and Carrick from Spurs, and they wouldn't be able to put up a fight, you know. And they'd go and take, you know, Alan Smith and Rio Ferdinand from themselves. And you know, at the time, Leeds were a Champions League team around then as well. So, you know, it's really shows maybe how the mighty have fallen there.
Do you think it's worrying that they ain't got any in? I thought he'd come in and they'd be like, right, bam, 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 bam. They ain't got one in.
They're back in training already.
They still haven't got the structure above him, right? But I think United, Reads of the Lions, I want to try and stop what they've been stung for years, which is, everyone go, whatever the price is, put 20 million on. And they go, we're not paying that. Yeah. They go, just hold out. Why? Because they'll get desperate and they always come back and pay for it.
Yeah.
And maybe this is them going through a couple of summers of pain where they go, no, that's the fee. We're not paying above that. And we're willing to walk away. But they haven't ever really had the balls to go, we're willing to walk away, which Liverpool did with Diaz. And I think this is what this Oxlade-Chamberlain midfield bollocks is with Liverpool is. I think we're willing to go into the season with an Oxlade-Chamberlain, but we wouldn't mind him going. We're just not.
Man United have been linked to him as well, right?
Yeah, that has to be a bit of blatant skullduggery by a reporter somewhere.
You don't believe that, right?
No. I think I planted that story. I was just trying to get.
I'd be surprised, put it that way, if they pay any money for Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain from ourselves. Now, if they like the player, I'd say wait until he's free. You know, they famously won't do business with us. I can't see us. Given, and the thing with Liverpool, I'll move on to Liverpool now. The thing with Liverpool is Jurgen Klopp. I've had great fun on Twitter today, you know.
I've seen
dropping little things to the fans about their ridiculous expectations. You know, Jurgen Klopp, the thing we know about Jurgen Klopp is if you go in and do a job for Jurgen Klopp doesn't bomb players that have done a solid for him. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, whether Liverpool fans like it or not, Jurgen Klopp likes him. And he's done well for Klopp. He got injured and Klopp wanted him to get back and he couldn't get him back. He's not going to just ruthlessly dump Chamberlain. So if Chamberlain wants to move on for himself, Liverpool will facilitate. It's similar to Minamino goes to Monaco today because Minamino wants minutes. Do you know what I mean? So Liverpool fans, I think, don't understand. It's not FIFA. You know what I mean? You can't just, right, I want to throw out these two and we're going to bring in these.
He has sort of bombed him out, though. He just does it in a very Jurgen Klopp way, which is, you don't see any links in the press saying, he's not in my plans, I don't want him, you know, we'll have to pick him. But literally from February, after February, he played one game.
He figured an awful lot in games, you know, not starts, but he did.
But when he got to the crunch time, which was February on, after February onwards, he was nowhere near a squad. You know, it was Jones and Elliott, which people have their concerns or criticisms about them, but they were miles ahead of him.
Yeah.
And if he stays at Liverpool, he's eighth choice. And it's a bit like the Carrick situation where he's basically said, we can't find a buyer for you. Fine, you can train with us, but that's all you're doing. And he was like, I'll play Petaluga before I pick you, which is the closest you're going to get to your club bombing someone out because it never gets leaked out publicly. But I mean, if you're Chamberlain now, you've got to be saying, like, you're 28, mate, at 29, your options are going to be even more limited. You need to go and play.
Yeah, exactly. And I know his partner just had a baby, didn't they? They just had a child recently and people would say, oh, well, he won't want to move, but he's going to be moving in a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
he
might just want to do that now and go on. But that's the sort of Liverpool fans are going mad because Paul Joyce came out and said, you know, when they done Calvin Ramsey, that's it, no more incomings, and they're all like, oh, no midfielders. When you read between the lines of these things, I think, you know, they say there's no more, but we'll monitor if anything changes. And that to me just means if one goes out, they'll look to bring one in. But the Jude Bellingham links have jumbled up again there today, Chris, where they're talking about not the most good links.
My concern is this could be like another Alexis Sanchez thing. We're definitely getting Alexis Sanchez. We're holding up for Alexis Sanchez. End up with Mario Balotelli. You're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So, if you think you're going to get him next year, grand, crack it, because he's brilliant. And
you ain't got the money for that deal.
Well, that's what I thought.
How we deal?
We must do with the money we've made.
How much do you think he'll cost? I think he'll go for between 100 to 150, man.
80 million euro. We're add-ons on top of that. Yeah, that's the figure that's getting bandied about. 80 million.
But I think 80 million. It won't be now, though, will it? It won't be now.
But apparently, this is what's coming out now. Indy Cardi is not the most reliable, and I'm not basing this on Indy.
I think it's people getting the hopes up. But I could look, Liverpool would be stupid not to push for it. But even if Liverpool decide, say you tell me now, Bellingham's locked in for next year. It's guaranteed, you know, whatever happens, we're getting Bellingham. Sound. But you're still going to have Milner to leave next summer. You're still going to have Chamberlain leaves and stuff like that. And as it stands, you're going to have Kate to leave next summer because he hasn't signed a new contract. And I wonder now, having listened to something on the Anfield Wrap, maybe the movement they talk about isn't Chamberlain. Maybe it's Kate. Maybe they're actually at the point where they're going to say to Kate, if you don't sign by this date, politely, you're fucking off. We'll get a fee for you because he's 27 and it's more of a, you know, you're still in peak years and we need to make some money on him.
Yeah.
So maybe, I still think if you can't get Bellingham, you get someone else in the summer. I'm not saying you have to pay Barella and get 70, 80 million pound player. There's lots of useful midfielders, which may be why the Gnabry link's coming back, because maybe that leads to a formation change. And it also gives you a Mo Salah cover to rest him.
Richo63 there, who's an Everton fan, says Bellingham is an Everton fan. And I did see him holidaying with Frank the Tory there as well in Ibiza.
He's definitely coming to Liverpool then, because most of our best players have been Everton fans.
I was listening to something earlier, actually, and they were saying about Bellingham. I forget, I was trying to look for his name. His name's Darren. He's one of the chief sports writers at one of the papers. Can't remember. It's not Darren Moore, that's the West Brom manager. But anyway, we was talking about Bellingham, and I think they're on about making him captain this year. That's what he was saying. So I don't think any move will happen now. You know that Bellingham's next move will be to the Premier League. Like, this is why Dortmund and the German clubs are so good at buying them young English talents, because they know we'll breed them up for you, and then you just buy them for like millions, you know. Yeah. So he's the one, and he's the one. So, like, whoever gets him out of you or City, like, he's the one. But I don't see it happening now.
I'd be surprised if it happens this summer.
I'd be surprised, but in some ways I wouldn't, because I do think, you know,
Darren Lewis, is that the is
Darren
that
Lewis,
name?
Yeah.
That's Demirer, him, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I just think for Liverpool to get Bellingham, right, I think they have the money there to do it, because they were linked with too many. And that got out of control, the price there, because Real lose out on Mbappe and then desperately have to throw 100 million at Monaco to get Tchouaméni in. I think Liverpool have the money there. They will do it if it's the right player. I think everyone knows that Klopp wants Bellingham. I think Bellingham wants Liverpool, and that's the key to it. Like, a lot of the things, Bellingham and his family, you know, they like stories about Klopp being linked with Jude, and I think there's been plenty of instances of that. So I think Liverpool need this to be like Van Dijk and like even Oxlade-Chamberlain. Oxlade-Chamberlain turned down more money from Chelsea to sign for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Van Dijk turned down more money from Man City to sign for Liverpool. And I think they really need Bellingham to be the same. Do you know? Because if it goes into a bidding war, Liverpool won't offer 350,000 a week for a player.
That's sort of what happened with Sancho. Liked Liverpool. You know, if it was that he liked Liverpool, he liked Klopp, but Liverpool weren't going to meet that level of fee or that level of package. They just weren't. And that's the concern with the Bellingham deal. You've got to hope, like you said, it's a Van Dijk thing, where it's pretty much when the Van Dijk thing was happening to Liverpool, you never heard of City. And look, City aren't stupid. There's no way City aren't sniffing around the Van Dijk. He just decided that's where he wants to go. Yeah. You know, a bit like Phillips decided, I'm only leaving Leeds for City. Grealish, I'm only leaving Villa for City. You know, so because you're not telling me no big club looked at Grealish. They obviously just got wind off his agent that just don't bother. He's going to City because he doesn't want to come to anyone else. And sometimes you've just got to accept that. That's the De Jong worry of United is. He may still go there, but he doesn't want to be there. Long term, that's going to cause you issues.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. The Gnabry links come back as well. It's a strange one. I like him. I think he's a good player. I don't know. And the worry for me is, does he do the numbers? You know what I mean? Maybe playing in RT. He doesn't do great. Not that he doesn't do great numbers in a Bayern team that are dominating.
I think he does it in assists more than he's more of a facilitator than a goal scorer. Which, look, maybe that's so. Again, maybe that's why we're looking at the Bellinghams of the world, or we've been linked to the likes of a Bellingham, and we've got Nunez's. Maybe the aim now is to stop Liverpool's goal threat isn't going to be wide anymore coming in. It's going to be more central options. You're a fourth, a midfield runner. Maybe that's the way we're going to go. Maybe it's the evolution of Liverpool. I wonder if that's the evolution of City. Especially in Europe, is you might see Rodri and Calvert as a two to stop a Real Madrid semi-final happening again.
Yeah,
you know, and then you just say Kevin De Bruyne a free roll, go and enjoy yourself, which to be honest is quite a scary prospect.
He's 31. I didn't realise he was that old.
Oh, he's over 30. He's over 30 now. He's a bit. They need
31. It's his birthday yesterday or something. I'm saying so. Yeah, he's finished. Put a line through him.
Once you're 30, you're finished. We've been told that.
Yeah, 100%. But no, Liverpool, I think Liverpool should do a midfielder this summer because I said it before on shows. There's an awful lot to do. You touched on it, Chris. There's an awful lot to do next summer with players leaving. And even if they do get Bellingham, which as we all know, there's going to be competition. Even if they do get that, one isn't going to be enough. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I think it will depend on outgoings. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them doing one. Joe, how do you see Liverpool, right? So Liverpool this summer, they've lost Minamino. They've lost Mane. They've brought in Calvin Ramsey from Aberdeen. They've brought in Fabio Carvalho from Fulham. And they've brought in Darwin Nunez. Do you think Liverpool need more, or are Liverpool fans worrying about none?
No, I think you've just got to trust in the process, haven't you? I know it sounds a bit thing, but Klopp's got it right. I think the two young lads you've got in there, Leeds United, were linked with both of them, Carvalho and Ramsey. I was hoping he'd choose Leeds Ramsey because I look at Trent and I'm like, mate, he's so young, he's completed football, you're not getting in there, so just go to Leeds, like, but it's what it is. I think, yeah, I think you'll be all right, mate. The only thing is, I don't know, I've not seen enough of Darwin Nunez. Do you believe? Because I look at Haaland and I think, yeah, he'll be fine. I'm just not sure on Nunez. And it's quite a big outlay for Liverpool. Do you think they panicked a bit with Haaland and thought we need to match that? I don't know.
No, I don't think Liverpool panic. You know, I don't think, maybe in the past I would have agreed with you, I think their recruitment has been so good over the last few years. I just think they knew Mane was, well, they knew Mane and Salah and Firmino were all out of contract next summer. They knew we have to start getting players in. There was a lot of talk on Darwin Nunez, you know, all season. Van Dijk name-checked him as one of the best players he's played against. Klopp name-checked him. There's been a lot of talk there. I'd say they have him scouted for years, and I think it's probably just a new way of playing, you know, with a centre-forward. Liverpool haven't had a proper forward. People talk about Man City not having a centre-forward until they bring in Haaland. Liverpool have had Bobby Firmino, who's an attacking midfielder. They've had Jota, who's a sort of a wide or a number 10 in his Wolves days. You know, they don't really have that number 9. So it would be interesting to see. I don't think it's a panic. I'm actually excited to see him. I'm excited to see.
Between them two, the battle between them.
It is the first one we bought, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Under Klopp. Jota, to me, is sort of becoming a bit of a number 9. I think he actually suits it more centrally. But he's a wide player that we're converting, which we seem to do a lot of. But again, and the one to look out for, I think, this season is Jota. I think people have, I think it's always a recency bias. He was never quite right since he got that ankle injury in the League Cup, before the League Cup final. And he just either hit a rut or, 60, that many games, players hit dips at the wrong time. Salah had a dip, he had a dip, they all had dips at the wrong time. Manny didn't get a peak. But people forget, up to January, Jota was actually really, really helps out, especially over the AFCON. Yeah. He was the key man. And people forgetting sometimes, what he gave us. Is his link-up play as good as we'd like it? Probably not, but he's a finisher.
21 goals.
Yeah, people forget what he can give to you. It's a nice problem to have. And it wouldn't surprise me if over a game of the season, it's Diaz, Salah, Jota as your front three, and Nunez is on the bench for the first two or three games. wouldn't surprise me, because that's kind of what we've done before, and Klopp will go when he knows for a bit.
Yeah. No,
is Salah not staying? Salah not staying, Keith?
There's a lot of talk again tonight that contract is going to be signed, but I don't really believe it. I think the money that he wants, the rumoured money, I don't know what he wants. You know, he hasn't told me what he wants. But the rumoured figures, you know, when you talk about 400,000 a week and people say, oh, he deserves to be paid, he's one of the best players in the league, he deserves to be parity with the likes of Kevin De Bruyne. The Man City's and all have sort of, and the PSG's and Barcelona's reckless clubs or bottomless pit clubs have sort of skewed what the wages are. You know, 400,000 a week, it's scandalous money for a player. He'd be 30 or 31, you know. I'm not worried about him falling off a cliff. I know he did sort of after AFCON, but it's the first time since we've had him that he's gone through that sort of rough patch. I think he's physically a player that will go on into his mid-30s easily in the same sort of form. So I've no worries about giving him a good contract, but 400 is an awful lot. Liverpool's, I think Van Dijk or Thiago's the top earner on 220 or something like that. You know, if you give him 400,
they earn big money with bonuses.
You know what I mean? And
it's good. It's a correct business model. I guess we're a little bit longer in the tooth, but I can understand people's frustrations as young'uns and that, and they see City or whatever. And it's like you say, it's that FIFA thing of we need to be doing this, doing that. But see, when you get a bit older, like you're a little bit more relaxed about it. But I can understand, like, they're already on enough money. Imagine how, come on now, all endorsements
but,
and that.
But also, if you scratch the surface, because this is the thing that winds me, because I can't believe he's only on 200 grand a week. It was only 2 years ago, he was the fourth highest paid footballer.
Yeah.
In the world, you're going, that's not 200 grand a week. And his Adidas sponsor deal.
Yeah.
I bet you probably in the last three years, he's probably at 200 grand a week, probably a handful of times. He's looking on well more than that. And interestingly, but again, this is the misinformation sometimes that comes out, is Manny's agents come out and basically said, he didn't want to talk about money, but he said the money that is being rumoured Manny was on, which we all know was 100 grand a week was the rumour, he said, it's also nonsense. He said he was on more than that when he left Southampton.
Yeah.
Now, how true that is, I don't know, but his agent's not going to be doing Liverpool any favours. He's left us, and he's still coming out saying the rumour figures you're talking is nonsense. So, you know.
Yeah. The way Liverpool do it, they reward players, and, you know, Salah's on 200 basic, I think, at the moment, but his goal bonus could be, you know, I think Liverpool give really high goal bonus, assist bonus, appearance bonus, win bonuses, and that's how their wages skyrocket. And, you know, I wouldn't personally smash the wage structure for any player, because I never think a player is bigger than a club.
And no, you agree, sure, yeah.
Like that with Leeds, Joe, you know what I mean? Mm. You've seen a precarious thing where mismanagement has fucked you up. Do you know what I mean? And many, many years of in the doldrums. Not saying that that would happen if you give Salah big money, but it opens the door
for more than, doesn't it? No, but like Van Dijk then asks for it, and so-and-so asks for it. And then like you say, you just end up with a situation like Man United who are getting rid of Pogba, Matic, you know, all these players now that were probably on massive money, and it's just like...
But that, I mean, it depends what you believe, because some of the rumours are Liverpool are willing to offer him around over the 300 mark, but his bonuses will be lower. Yeah. So we'll guarantee you more down, which is what you want, but your bonuses will be lower to get to sort of
parity,
meet us halfway. And there's a rumour that's not an agreement. You know, I actually thought the issue was the contract length, but he's now seen to, his agent's now letting it known that he's willing just to do a 2-year extension. Which then sort of
Will he go, do you think?
See, I think this is the problem that he has himself. I don't know how many suitors.
City.
I don't think he stays in the Premier League. I think that's all bluster. Yeah. I don't think he moves to another Premier League team. I think you're looking at PSG, Real Madrid, Barcelona. Barcelona are in so much of a fucking state. Like, they just cannot bring in players without getting rid of players. And you see it with Lewandowski, they're desperate to get him in. They can't do it. They couldn't get Rafinha because they have to get players out. So I don't know if that's an option. Madrid, as a short-term option, Madrid might be the one, because if they look at bringing in, let's say, a 31-year-old Mo Salah, playing with Karim Benzema, you know, you've got two of the best North African footballers in the world. I know Benzema's French, but he's an Algerian descent. You've got, you know, really iconic footballers there, but they're both old. You look at the Haaland supposed buyout clause kicking in a few years. Where's he going to go from City? Real Madrid. They could go back for an Mbappe. Do you know what I mean? So I think they might look at the shorter term of a Salah rather than others. PSG are reckless with money. We know that. Yeah. Would they go for it? I don't know. I think there's not that many, and I think that's what sort of softening his cough a bit.
Because I think in England, the only ones he could go to, well, he goes either, but he probably wants to go to his City because he guaranteed trophies of some descript and the money. Mm. And before the takeover, and we'll have to see how it goes, a few of the guys mentioned Chelsea, you know, he's a driven man, Sally, my unfinished business. I want to go back and prove I could do it at Chelsea. You know,
someone said, they might be in a position.
Yeah. Look, whether Liverpool fans like, whether we like it or not, look, he's given us 5-6 years. And look, I'm old enough. Long as it won't please me if he goes to an English club. But when he gets to this level now, with this late in the contract now, you're a bit stumped. You're a bit stumped, really. Look, fingers crossed he signs an extension. But I'll be quite surprised because you know what's changed or what or who's back down. It's like a really big game of chickenness now. It's who's back down first.
Indeed.
But I think it's commendable that you're not breaking the rules for him, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I don't think we should. You know, I don't think we should. I don't think, you know, we've seen big players leave Liverpool before. They've come, next player has come along and been the success. I think you go down a slippery slope. As we said, Man United gave it to Sanchez. The next day, De Gea was in there saying, look, I'm player of the year here every season. I want 350 bags a week. Mm. And then they couldn't shift him because when you give that money, look at, you know, there's not many places you can go. Frankie de Jong's been linked with Manchester United because there's not many teams will pay him 350,000 a week.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, they're idiots, aren't they? It's class.
Yeah. You love to see it.
But I also think if Salah was the only big name that was at the end of his contract next summer, I think there'd be a little bit less nervousness. But the fact is, he's going. Firmino, who will probably be a squad player this year, is going. Tessie Cater's going. Thiago then will be, I think he's 22. Down to his last 32. Mm-hmm. He'll be down to his last year or so. So again, then you're going, we need to plan for Thiago leaving. We need to replace Keita. We need to replace Bobby. We need to replace Salah. He go into the mini rebuild section then. And listen,
does Klopp do one at that point?
Well, I think he signed the contract, a few months back. There's no chance he didn't know this was coming.
Right, okay.
So, I know. The owners aren't popular, and I know we're accused of backing the owners and all that sort of stuff, but when you get to two extensions with the owners, there's no way Klopp's fell for the same trick twice. But, oh, they promised me players, and they've done it again.
The fourth window, they've done it again. You know?
Yeah, oh, I fell for it again. Well, you know, he's a smart man. You know, whether we like it or not, you know, Klopp is also part of this who we do and don't buy. So, you know, I do wonder sometimes with Liverpool, maybe Liverpool internally need someone a bit like David Dean at Arsenal. Because the talk was, a lot of time, David Dean would lean on Wenger and just say, just pay the money for him. Because Wenger was very much prudent, going, I'm not paying that much for Omri, or I'm not paying that much for a Wiltord. And it was apparently David Dean would lean on him and say, look, the money's there. You what you want, just go for it. And had to be pushed sometimes. Which, it sounds very romantic now because Arsenal went on winning for him, but that came out quite early on. I do wonder sometimes, maybe that's where a Julian Ward sometimes maybe has to lean the Klopp saying, if that's what you want, then we'll push the boat out for it. So again, is Klopp a victim of his own prudence? Yeah, so, but look, we'll never know. Kev's put something in for you, Keith. Luis Suarez going to River Plate.
Yeah, that's what happened. River Plate jersey on me.
I thought that's what it was.
River Plate 85, Enzo Francescoli special. I think it's a great move. Came out of nowhere, being linked with Villa, being linked to the MLS. I just think Luis Suarez is brilliant. I think he still has a bit to offer, and I love River Plate. Very interesting move. Delighted. See how it goes. You know, if it gets over the line, I'll be watching with interest. But one that I like. Chris Golden saying Force of Boca. Yeah, I like Argentinian football, I have to be honest. Like, I like Racing, so, I like Vélez, Sarsfield, I like Newell's Old Boys, I like all of them, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a favourite, I just enjoy it. If I had to pick a favourite, it would be River Plate, to be honest, which just goes against me. Sort of, River Plate are the sort of poshy, the loads of money team. Boca are the factory workers, and I like to be a man of, I like to portray myself as a man of the people.
But Vamos, Newell's Carajo. Yeah, I'm a Newell's fan.
There you go. Newell's Old Boys all the way.
Yeah, man.
But, you know, it's a good move. It's a good, interesting one. Joe, before we let you go, Leeds, you have done, what, Rasmus Christensen?
Yeah.
He's a right back.
Yeah.
You've done Brendan Aaronson.
Yeah. And who else we have done Mark Rocker.
From Bayern Munich. That's a good signing.
I believe so too. It's all now. It'll be a domino effect for Leeds United. Rafinha and Calvin will be gone, and then it'll be their replacements. We've been linked to Cody Gakpo as a potential Rafinha replacement.
Good player.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, yeah, that's been linked with
Liverpool. Really, really good player. He's actually. It's mad because we were talking about on my show earlier. It's like the top clubs like yourselves. They don't sort of take these chances. They let the middle type Premier League take the chances and then take them off you a little bit later. And it's actually been reported in Holland that he fancies a Gini Wijnaldum type move from PSV to Newcastle, Liverpool. So, you know, that sort of vibe. So putting yourself in the shop window, because Rafinha came from he was playing Champions League club with Rennes, came to the Premier League. Now he's got his move to an elite club. So I think Cody Gakpo would be a class signing if we can get him. The one that excites me the most is Charles de Ketelaere from Club Bruges.
Yep.
So he's been linked as well.
He's the next Kevin De Bruyne. He's been linked as the new De Bruyne.
Yeah, so he's the one that I really want, but apparently he favours the move to Milan, which I understand because AC Milan want him. But does Victor present a package where he says, we'll give you more game time than Milan. You come to the Premier League. Look what we did with Rafinha. Look how we've raised this profile. Come to us. You'll get your move that you want. And that's where Leeds fans are struggling to come to terms with the fact that we are that club now. I'm okay with it. I understand it. I think it's a good business model that we're doing. We've just got to get it right. And who else is there? There's one more. So it's either Tyler Adams or Mo Kamara, Leipzig or Salzburg. For the Calvin replacement to play alongside Rocker. I think the Adams one will get done because he's American and, you know, Jesse gave him his debut at New York Red Bulls, etc. But it's been reported earlier that Mo Kamara has been told he doesn't have to go to Salzburg pre-season ahead of a move to the Premier League, and it's us and Brighton who are in for him. Brighton know a player. Everyone's waxing lyrical about Mo Kamara. He's been saying he's the next Kante, you know, as they do, but listen, here's
the next Naby Keita.
if we can get Kamara or Adams, Gakpo, I mean, Gakpo and Charles, honestly, man, they'd be mustard.
On the quiet, Brighton have got some work to do as well, haven't they? You think losing Basuma and the talk is Cucurella's on his way.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, their recruitment has been good as well, and I'd fancy them to sort of unearth, you know, players that can...
But hasn't their main recruitment guy just moved to Newcastle?
Yeah, but you know what? I think the Basuma, I said this before, I think they've already replaced Basuma. They have Moise Caicedo, your Ecuadorian midfielder that he bought last summer, one of the best prospects in South America, centre mid, and he went out on loan. And he came back in the second half of the season, and he's a quality player. And I think with him, the Enoch Mwepu as well in the midfield, I think they'll be all right without having to replace Basuma. I think they can take a risk on someone and sort of try and blood them in that way. But you don't see teams doing that. But with Leeds, do you like the whole Jesse Marsh, Red Bull link? Do you like the players that are coming in? I think it's a good model. Liverpool sort of skirt around it as well. We've had players coming from the Red Bulls. Is it something that you like to see happening?
I like the model that we've got. I'm not too enamored with the coach as of yet. if I'm being totally honest. Massively. The style of football was bad. That's just my opinion. Obviously, I was trekked to like liquid football for a couple of years under Bielsa, so it was tough. But it's a fresh slate now. I didn't want the Bielsa era to be bookended with relegation. The fact that we stayed up's good. We're now a new team, and you know, there needs to be a bigger squad, which is what we're doing. We've not messed around this time. I mean, we've got three in the door already. I don't want poor signings like Rodrigo, like Dan James. You know, these are like record signings for us. I'd rather us do this, you know what I mean? Because neither of them worked. I'd rather us go and pick a Cody Gakpo up for, I don't know, like 30 million or whatever's being touted out, and then we can, there's resale value on that. Do you know what I mean?
It's you probably double that in 2 years.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. That's the thing. And, you know, the mad thing is people say, oh, no, we need to replace them with the same amount we get the money. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. Like, football, not where we are, you know. Listen, there's some Leeds fans out there who want Adama Traore. It's just a madness, man. But there you go. We would have, like, he's Dan James on steroids. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know.
A headless chicken who shows fast.
It's probably a slightly better tackler.
Yeah,
I like the model. I do like the model, Keith. I'm just not sure on the coach as of yet. We'll wait and see.
Be interesting to see him getting a pre-season. I know it's not a long pre-season. You know what I mean? It's the season coming up is probably not the ideal one to be doing it. But I think, you know, he took over from Bielsa, who Leeds fans loved him. You know, the players loved him. Everyone loved him. Even if people thought he should have gone, I thought he would have turned it around, but I'm a romantic like that.
I felt they should have got rid of him a bit sooner. I'm not a Bielsa romantic. Yeah, but I think you're if you're gonna bring a new manager, it says you tried to sell 16 players one summer.
Yeah.
We did a transfer game and Keith sold half the squad. That's what we're doing.
But my defense, loads of them were youth players, you know, that was getting money for them. The outlaws being Joel Matip. I was selling Joel Matip, but I was selling possibly Mane. I was selling some big players as well.
But the only thing was with Jesse March is coming in post January transfer window, we basically couldn't bring anything into influence. These lads you've got, they play the Bielsa way, which has sort of gone off the rails now.
They're fucking knackered.
They're knackered. And the ones that aren't knackered are injured. So
true.
Crack on. I do wonder, because I don't claim to have watched loads of Jesse March and all that, but he probably just did enough to, I was like, I'm just going to keep you up. And I wonder if it's just like a deal. Look, we'll do what we can to stay up. The summer is when I implement whatever his style is. Now look, if we go back to it at Christmas and they're still playing this shite, and then you can go, this is just not good enough. He's not what we want. But I think he does need a little bit of leeway. I felt sorry we didn't get the whole Ted Lasso bollocks, which any American coach gets, which is a bit tiresome now.
He took her on the chin, in fairness to him.
He did, to be fairness to him, because what else could he do?
The only thing is, I do think the signings have been good that he's made. I think Rock is a good player. I think Aronson's a very, very highly rated player. Mm-hmm. And I think Christensen's a good player. And the players that you're linked with, I think are good players. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. But look, only time will tell on that. So, look, we'll finish her up now.
Give me mid-table, like, boring season every day of the week after last season, bro, on the last day. That was heartache tackle. So,
but that's what you want. You know, when you touched on it, Joe, if Leeds are to become a team that bring in these young talents and use them as a stepping stone, nearly, some fans just, and it's hard for fans to see their club as a stepping stone. Do you know what I mean? But if you're getting top talent and you're getting profits on them, that's how you improve. You know what I mean? Yeah. And if you're sensible with your signings, that's all you need, you know. And we've seen Leeds, he touched on Dan James and Rodrigo haven't been great. But look, these signings look good. So it'll be interesting to see how he's doing. Before I let you go, Joe, had someone ask him, what's your channel? What's Joe's channel? He is just an amazing Leeds fan, centered into reality and 100% frank on Leeds and Liverpool. Joe is great. Joe comes on here from time to time. We love having him around here.
That's Joe's burner.
Yeah,
I've been typing away. But Kevin, you can get me at Just Joe Football Show, mate. Head on over, anyone who isn't subscribed. I know Kev joins us from time to time, and that's nice.
It's great over there,
Yeah, good. Come over and get involved. I do watch alongs as well of other games. I'll be kicking that off for the season. I know you'll be watching the content, mate.
If you want a bit of fun though, watch the last 5 minutes of Joe's watch along, I think it's Norwich. That is despair and ecstasy in five minutes. I think literally Norwich equalised,
Yeah, for that, didn't you?
Joe's at the end of his tether, and then I think Leeds win it the last minute. And I said straight away, I think all those trippers messaged him and said, he's got to watch what Joe's reaction was to that.
He's a baller, by the way. Joe Gelhart, by the way. Did you see what he did to Lewis Dunk at the last home game against Brighton when he just dinked? Oh, man.
He's a good player. He's a talent. And that's the thing. Leeds, they will have good young players there waiting to come through, won't they? And it'll be interesting to see if Marsh brings them through, because one of those, the models at Salzburg and at Leipzig was give you the chance. And I think, you know, it's a good way of... Yeah. And he did, in fairness. Gelhart came in a lot at the end of the season and
Sam Greenwood as well, who we picked up from Arsenal as well. So there's him and
what's his name? Somerville, is he?
Somerville, Somerville as well. And I don't know about this kid, but this is what's been reported as well. Emre Tezgel, 16-year-old Stoke City wonder kid. Apparently we've won the signature over all big clubs for him as well. So that's exciting. I think that's the thing, is like Leeds United are doing well. We managed to take Louis Bate from Chelsea and stuff. So I think they're offering a route into the first team quicker than what these top clubs are, and people are going, actually, we'll make that move.
Yeah,
game time, don't they?
The other club that's doing that on the quiet is Palace.
Palace
went for being the ultimate journeyman club. I mean, that's really MO, wasn't it? So finally now being, if you're a young, exciting talent from the Championship and you're thinking, are they ready for the Prem? Palace is the best one to go to. Yeah. I think they've just took another young lad from Derby. And as soon as he went to Palace, he went, he must be good. Because Palace now are really excited to watch. The penny house when you play him, you don't really want to be like that. Yeah. But to watch now, Palace is just quite exciting. So, and again, I think Leeds will probably try and do a similar path again, because that's actually the smart way of doing it. And that's what, we're a bit older than two, but in the mid-90s, early 90s, that actually was how the bottom half of the Premier was really competitive, is they do smart signings. It'd have to be big money. It'd be smart signs. Yeah. I think a lot of clubs are going away from that now. It has to be some fantastically named Brazilian that costs 40, 50 million. Sometimes it is smart signings and for what you need. So, you know, maybe Leeds go down that route as well.
Indeed. But anyway, we'll leave it there, lads. So, Joe, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and we'll have you on again soon, I'm sure. Let's see how the window pans out for Leeds, and then when the season gets going, we'll get you on as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Keith. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. And Chris, always a pleasure to have you on. Don't leave it as long next time before we get you on one of these transfer gigs. What have you got, anything else coming up this week?
Sports Unplugged on Friday. Me, Luke, and Kev's back.
Great.
Trying to get another guest. Hopefully, I think Ash might be available, so try and get Ash on.
Good stuff. And again, Joe, throw your channel out there for anyone that missed it. Where can they get you?
Yeah, Just Joe Football Show. Come on over. It's good.
Good stuff. Thank you. Good stuff. So, this has been NTK. No transfer knowledge. We've loads of transfer knowledge, as we've just proven there for an hour and 20 minutes. But Gav will be back. I don't know whether there's anything on tomorrow, I'm sure. Oh, there's a quiz. There's a quiz tomorrow. And it's an interactive quiz. So, you know.
I'm not doing the questions.
Nah, you're banned from the other questions. But it'll be good fun. So everyone tune in for that. It'll be good crack. And look, we'll leave it there. This has been NTK and the Day Trippers. We'll see you all again soon. Sports Social Podcast Network.